Welcome to Flyover Conservative Podcast with David and Stacey Whited, where we break down current events and examine culture through the lens of conservative Christian values.
All right, Flyover family, we are going to do a deep dive into something that has been a word that has been circling around you guys, information and intel, going back a couple of years. Now, it's more than I could ever do in an intro to kind of refresh your memory, but preparing for today's content, I went back and watched a documentary screenplay written by Brian Godawa, who we've had on as an author. I didn't even forgot that he even wrote the screenplay for this that Breitbart Films ran with and turned into kind of an interactive documentary to kind of get the facts out in a way that was sort of built around a reenactment, like you would see sometimes in replaying something. But they came out with a documentary called My Son Hunter. And if you missed it, it's a couple years ago. Again, it's not on Netflix, I don't believe, or Amazon, but you can find it other places. Breitbart produced this, put it out. Karama, you know, different A-list actors, you know, all the way through. But I'll play the trailer for it. Just kind of refresh your memory on this topic a little bit as we do a deep dive into this subject matter. Check out this trailer.
So I'll tell you what's going down.
You know who I am.
They told me you were VIP. Well connected to the government.
What kind of a moron forgets to pick up his laptop at a repair shop? You're a Biden. Act like one. Everything he built, life, I just ruined it all.
I want to know everything that's on that laptop that can ruin my erection.
My friends, it's time to party!
Didn't you know I'm taking control? I'm making appearance and I gotta go, cause I get them dancing with their hands up. Yeah, I walk in and they go bananas. I'm a bad, yeah.
I'm an artist.
Tell me how I can help you.
Well, I don't deserve help.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I've been through worse.
You're the smartest man I know.
Thanks, Dad.
I just wish I could smack some sense into you.
I'll never forget Corn Pop. He was a bad dude. No joke.
Dad, we're talking about suffering.
I can't seem to find anything but positive stuff on the Bidens.
Who's the point man for the foreign policy in the Obama regime?
Joe Biden.
So it looks like you need $1 billion.
So the obvious next question is,
where's Hunter?
I can remember getting paid some money, but I can't remember what for.
Well, my dad says we never discuss my businesses, period.
Or my cut.
What's happening in there? Joe's in on it.
Party's over!
You had everything, Hunter, and you threw it all away. You hope the laptop will take down everybody with you.
Get out!
China's not our enemy.
They're not bad folks.
I love my dad.
And I just want to make him proud. I am the one who brings in all the deals. I am the one.
The boy.
Yikes.
So they did a good of a job of, if you have something incredibly disgusting and perverse and morally bankrupt in every single way, covering it in a way that is as tasteful as you can make it while still being somewhat authentic, did a good job with it. And if you've not seen it, I encourage it, you know, check it out as you're bringing in lots of points of input into your world. But at the end of the movie, the trailer where the credits run, you know, that part, I found exceptionally interesting because now I'm sitting here in 2024. We're an election year, 170 some days away from the 2024 election, with information that has been around a long time. Mm-hmm. And most people just have words for it. You don't know what's real. You don't know what is real. But there's sort of a little bit of a stench, I think, in the nose of the American people. No matter where they're at on the political spectrum, they're like, I think some jackassery and shenanigans took place with this story. And why is it that everybody hearing me right now has different pieces of this, but not a chronological soup to nuts rollout? I don't know. It's interesting, but it especially hit me with the credits of this film. So I just want to play the last few credits because they play some snippets. And what you're about to hear is what most Americans kind of remember, and it's sort of where the story left for most people because of media suppression and controlling a narrative. But let's play the end credits of My Son Hunter real quick.
Emails about his business dealings, described by many intelligence experts as having hallmarks of a foreign disinformation campaign.
And has all the hallmarks of a Russian disinformation campaign.
They're part of a Russian disinformation effort.
To show business dealings of Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, are connected to a Russian disinformation campaign.
Was the target of a Russian influence campaign aimed at discrediting Biden.
Giuliani is feeding Russian misinformation to Donald Trump.
The New York Post published a story filled with unsubstantiated claims and fed by Rudy Giuliani about emails found on a laptop in Delaware that may or may not belong to Hunter Biden.
Russian disinformation effort.
Being used by the Russians and by people connected to the Russians in Ukraine to try to traffic in some of these conspiracies.
With the contents of what may be potentially a foreign intelligence operation in this campaign.
And an active attack in the form of Russian disinformation.
This looks like your classic disinformation campaign.
Who do you think is behind this?
Well, the Russians would be my number one guess.
Off of the unverified contents of a mysterious laptop that somehow Rudy Giuliani got his hands on, that some officials worry is tied to a Russian intelligence op.
DNA test released today confirms presidential candidate Joe Biden's son is the biological father of an Arkansas woman's child.
I mean, they're not bad folks, but guess what? They're not they're not competition for us.
And so I got Ukraine, and I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to the press conference, and I said, we're not gonna give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority, you're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired.
Watching that kind of bringing back, memories of the whole story. But we're in an interesting space in time where, Stacey and I grew up in a world where there's two or three, talking heads at night. Walter Cronkite was a voice of our childhood and kind of,
How old we are.
The next day when people would go to school or they would talk or the workplace, they all heard the same thing last night and then they kind of discuss it. And there might've been a little bent on how you viewed the world, but you heard the same thing. We're in an interesting space today where, you could go out and have a conversation and talk about Kyle Rittenhouse, and it's going to be a completely different story with your neighbor or somebody else, and the same thing happened. And they're going to have a narrative that's totally different than this person. And how can that happen in a world today where there's more information available? There's more outlets. Everybody's got a phone. They got a built-in movie camera studio, everywhere they go. There's more filming of things. There's more document. There's a picture of something happening. It's not hearsay. There's more data and information and more confusion than ever at the same time. And so we're in a place where finding actual facts and data is somewhat elusive. Sometimes they're hidden from you. Sometimes they're hard to find. Sometimes they're not even available, with a claim. And there was no fact or anything about it. It was just a story over here to distract you from something else over here. So it's never been more incumbent upon the individual to take personal responsibility, not just for kind of what goes into your head, but your ability to think like a human. You're not a dog. You're not a cat. You're not a, oh, there's my food and I just eat. Like, we have the ability to take in two pieces of information and come up and put an idea in our head and think about it and actually use something called discernment, which I think is a gift from our creator that separates us from everything else in creation, the ability to have a desire to seek out truth and the ability to think and come up with an idea based on the gathering of information individually. And they want to turn you and me and everyone else into a, hey, you just sit there and we're going to put it on the box and the box will tell you what to think and the box will tell you what's true and we'll tell you 2 + 2 = 5 and you're going to believe it. And if you don't believe it, we're going to call you names until you say you believe it. And we've seen it with COVID. We saw Chris Cuomo on there talking about this information. And famously over the last few days, there's the cuts of him bashing on ivermectin and bashing on things. And then now he's kind of changed his tune lately because of his own experience with experimental use medications out there. So people's tune kind of changes, but truth doesn't. Mm-hmm. And today we want to talk about truth a little bit. And every single thing you saw in those clips, there's probably nobody that spent more time thinking about it, has stronger opinions on it, and has done more sifting through all of the sand and the rocks in the creek to come up with the gold nuggets and say, here, I pan for the truth. Here's the truth to the best that he can. And an investigative journalist, I guess I'd call you at this point, a former policy advisor under the Trump administration, Mr. Garrett Ziegler.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah,
both of
thanks
you.
For joining us.
It's a great studio, and hopefully reach a new audience today and talk about this dossier that we put together. I love that analogy. It really is. It's not glorious. The rolling up your pant legs and sifting through the specks of sediment to find the golden nuggets. But I'm going to use that analogy from now on. That's really what it feels like.
He comes
like
up with great analogies.
Visual descriptions are very important. Mm-hmm. And once you have a crackhead's laptop, it really is like that sediment. It wasn't organized, right? The device that he left at the repair shop, his desktop layout was a drug addict's, which meant there was no organization. So there's so many threads to pull. There's so many memories that come up just rewatching that.
Bet.
We've done deep dives on every single person that appeared in any one of those MSNBC hits. And some of them have positions in the Biden administration today.
Wow.
So I love the phrase quid pro Joe because Joey's first name, matches the phonetics of the Latin phrase. So some of those people we know the quid and the quo, all facilitated by Joe. So Jeremy Bash was one of those people saying it had all the hallmarks of Russian disinformation campaign, and now he's a spokesman for a group at the ODNI. It's absolutely disgusting. But like you said, this needed a systematic approach, and that's what we've provided. More than anything else, all we've done is provide a systematic layout of the contents of the laptop.
So we're kind of get into the details here in a little bit. I always joke about, sometimes like life's what happens on your way somewhere else, a lot of times, So I doubt you sat down with your high school guidance counselor and say, okay, lay out like a 10-year plan, how I could be in the crosshairs of every powerful person in the world and be called every name in the possible book. What's a clear path to get there? But whatever they said, you must have followed it. So that's kind of where you've ended up. But walk through real quickly, kind of your background and what got you in a position to kind of have the mental and emotional vocabulary to process all of this. You're not just somebody sitting here in Missouri looking at something far away. You were kind of in the eye of the storm.
Yeah, I worked for a gentleman named Peter Navarro, who is currently incarcerated. Thankfully, he was put in the camp section of FCI Miami. Peter was the president's chief trade advisor within the White House for 2 years.
We've interviewed him live at events.
He's a great man.
Truly one of the best people I've met.
Yeah. I know. He's extremely generous. He's a little bit like DJT in that the public reporting about him and his private comportment are so incongruent. Mm-hmm. He is generous. I look at him like an uncle figure, almost like a surrogate uncle figure.
He's in his 70s, but he can probably do more push-ups than you and I put together.
Oh my gosh. He's in great shape.
Probably one of the things that's hurting him most, apart from just being next to somewhat decrepit people, not all of them, but most of them down there in FC. I mean, these are gangbangers. This is Miami, right? This is Cuban drug lords, et cetera. He swims for hours each morning. So wow. The fact that he can't swim now is probably really, really making him mad. And he did that when he was in the White House. He lived at a certain apartment complex in D.C. that had an indoor pool. So he swims, he bikes, he runs. He's in great shape. He turns 75 on July 15th.
Wow.
I was by his side, close as you and I are, for about 2 years. Me and other people, me and Joanna Miller and a couple of other staffers, you know, he was a professor at UC Irvine, as you know, for 30 years. So he really had young people around him. He did not, hate that. He did not, despise young people. You had to work hard and you had to know only speak up about topics which you know a lot about. That's why some people meet me and they think I'm sort of quiet, because if I don't know a topic, I will literally shut up with my hands, you know, sit on my hands and listen to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And I learned that from Peter. When you know something, go deeper than anybody else and, you know, have courage to talk about an issue. But if you don't know it, there's a lot of value in listening. And I think DJT does that as well, that some people don't realize. He listens a lot. Listening is so important.
One thing that we've tried to do here at Flyover Conservatives is support Peter as much as we can. Yes. I mean, you know, there's got a lot of expenses and all that coming in, just trying to protect himself from all of the lawfare. So Flyover family, again, I just want you to know, you can go to givesendgo.com/Navarro and you can donate there. If it's $5 or $10, and also there, you can share and pray. We just really recommend getting the information out there, letting people know what's going on, getting the finances coming in, at the same time praying for him. It's impossible to pray and for something not to happen. Truly covering him in prayer during this time. It's so important.
And I love the comments. I go there quite often and read those. So many of you guys are going there. And again, if you skip a latte and give him $5.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a lot. What would you want done if you were in that position, that where you would not bend a knee and take some kind of a golden parachute deal, you know, from the left to get out of the way? You guys are commenting there. Justice will prevail. So if you listen to this on audio only, the links will be down below for a lot of things we talk about in today's episode. But Peter Navarro is a really good man. Mm-hmm. And if he was your uncle, grandfather, you know, somebody close to you, but he's representing probably your values if you're watching this show today, and he's paying a good price for it.
And he loves the truth.
Yes.
He believes in truth.
Yes.
He believes in truth. That's most of the people in the current White House. They don't believe in truth. They believe in power. They don't believe in absolute truth. So Peter does, and it's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
They went after, I never for a second thought that they were going to try to imprison me for January 6th stuff, because their whole goal was to get to Peter. I pled the fifth, of course, because it was a sham committee. The committee wasn't legal under the House operating resolution. They didn't have Republicans approved by the Congress. They had Cheney and Kinzinger, despicable human beings, liars of the first order. So I got subpoenaed by the January 6th scam committee because I dared to work with Peter on his election integrity reports. I went to Arizona for him and wrote a report about a mini report back to them on what was going on in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And Arizona just came down with a new indictment. So I knew something. Arizona is so important, such a weird state. It's so far away. It's a young state, but it's partially controlled by the cartels. And what I'm trying to get across is that Peter had that intuition too. He's a very intuitive man, and I'm really proud to have worked for him and been his direct staffer for 2 years. So by the way, working for Peter, it's very essence of working for Peter, you understand the threat of the CCP. And that's what got me interested in this. It's not just that the Bidens are doing foreign business deals. Some foreign business deals are honorable. Let's say you're an importer of fruit that America doesn't grow all times of the year. That's an honorable foreign business. We're not against all foreign business. We're sober people. What the Bidens are doing is getting in business with our mortal enemy, the CCP is an enemy unlike no other we've ever had. They are, they know Karl Marx. They know the thought behind, they think deeply. Maoism, like you said, Maoism is so deeply ingrained in their system that they don't want to become like us. They want us to adopt their system. So looking at the Biden laptop and seeing their connections to the CCP, that's what sort of prepared me to do this, is that I had my eyes already open for what to look for. So I think, you know, thousands of people have this data now.
Yep.
But if you don't have the background of knowing how the, you know, Chinese Association for Friendly Foreign Contact. Yeah, that's a real their translations of Mandarin into English is hilarious because it just shows their contempt for us. Like they make nothing easy.
Wow. Well,
so, before we get into the laptop. Yes. So there you are. Young man.
Yeah.
Working in the White House directly with Peter Navarro.
Yeah. 25.
At 25 years old.
A young age, which says a lot about you.
I'm 25 now. I'm 28.
But what'd you get your degree in?
Econ. So all of us were economics majors. And two of the three went to law school. I was going to go to law school. I applied, did all that, took the LSAT. But I got married, and we had a little one on the way. Okay. And this was right after the coup. And there's only about two or three law schools in the United States that aren't explicitly Marxist. There's Ave Maria in Florida. And a couple of others. So,
wow.
So if you're, I mean, these are Marxist institutions. They believe in the diversity scam. So I didn't want to go to, and they won't accept people like me. If you do not believe in the diversity scam, first of all, if they do accept you, you're not going to get any scholarships, right? So I have tabled the law school route, but everybody that worked for Peter, to answer your question, they were econ majors. They were going to go to graduate school or law school. And, One of our staffers, Chris, he's in law school at Georgetown right now. But it was a great time. We were one of the few people in the White House that actually believed what the president believed. About 90% of the Trump White House staff did not believe what the president believed on trade. Mm. They believe in free trade, which again is a hoax. We believe in fair trade, as did all of the American founders.
What's the difference between free trade and fair trade?
Yeah.
Fair trade is when countries do not erect barriers to entry to their markets that you do not have. So if we are selling engines, jet engines, if the CHICOMs put a tariff that is above ours in percent on a percentage basis, that by definition is not free trade. Free trade is an ideal where there are no hindrances, no barriers to exchanging commerce between two nations. That's not what occurs on planet Earth. Every single country has specific industries that they excel at and they want to fill their coffers with. Norway is, you know, the only reason why the Europeans can have retirement and free education is because of the Americans. They do not pay for their own defense. They pay for about 13% of it. I made that number up, but it's not more than 20. It's like pathetic how little they pay. So how is that possible? Well, because the Europeans, they always talk about free trade, but they have tremendous trade barriers, and they're not even just tariffs. It's non-tariff barriers. And so Peter spread this gospel back in 2005, got called every name in the book. And it turns out that he was right on absolutely everything. Mm-hmm. He had this book in 2011 called Death by China. It was prophetic, and he got booed off the stage. And then when DJT comes, Peter's gift, and it relates to the Biden dossier, Peter provides statistical backup for President Trump's flawless intuition on trade. That's what Peter's job was. And my job was to help Peter in that mission. So I think this is one of the key issues. It's trade, immigration, and forever wars. That's the three things that Trump won on. And Marco Polo is focusing on one of them, which is the CHICOM influence. That's why we're called Marco Polo, because the Venetian explorer wrote about the Orient in the 1400s. And we're writing about the Orient today. This is an Oriental that word is not passé in 2024, but we don't care. We are writing about Oriental influence on the United States. That comes in many forms, honeypots, business relationships.
Yeah.
With the Bidens, it's everything. I mean, if you're a foreign influence operation, Hunter Biden's a dream. He has so many vices, so little impulse control. Anything that you dangle in front of his head, either cash, women, he's going to indulge. He's like a 13-year-old boy. 13-year-old boys, by definition, they do not have they have just a little bit of reason, right? That's why we have to guardrail them in, because they do not have the fruits of the spirit of self-control. And Hunter never learned those. And these aren't just my words. When Hunter was discussing his upbringing in his semi-fictional memoir, ironically entitled Beautiful Things, he said that he was raised by the whole family because his mother tragically died. Mm-hmm. Well, we figured out how that went. Raising somebody, you know, like what Hillary said, it takes a village. We've learned what happens when the entire family raises somebody. You end up with Hunter. Mm. Massive porn addiction starting when he was in high school. You know, it's just – it's that picture is deliberately picked because – the cover of Beautiful Things is deliberately picked because it's like, how could you go against that, right? It's a beautiful – and he was a cute little kid. By the way, in the credits for that biopic, my son Hunter. I was the witness for the mother of Hunter's child in Arkansas. I've actually been in a courtroom. Last year, this week, May 1st of 2023, the mother, London Roberts, selected me as her expert witness for their upcoming trial. Now, it settled because he paid, but he was going to reopen the child support case. So she called me because I wrote this report, and her attorneys are conservatives, meaning they believe in truth and they're sane people and don't hate me because of what they read on Washington Post about me. And yeah, that probably made them more mad than anything. I got them involved in the child support case. And remember, this is the smartest man the U.S. president knows, according to the U.S. president. Yeah. And he did not want to pay the current levels of child support for his own daughter.
Now, as Joe acknowledged this grandchild?
Finally, he gave a one-sentence quote to the illustrious magazine called People Magazine. We all know that People has a sterling reputation for truth and sobriety. I'm being facetious. him and Jill, who's a real witch, they gave a one-sentence quote to People Magazine about little Navy. And Navy's adorable, just like Hunter was an adorable little kid. And by the way, Hunter's vices were exacerbated because he was handsome. Hunter wouldn't have committed so many sins if he were ugly, right? And so Navy is adorable, just like Hunter was when he was a little kid. So this has all the sociology packed into it, but they did settle the child support case. I was going to be testifying at trial for the mother of his child.
Wow.
That was not expected, by the way. I did not write this dossier to be a witness in an Arkansas child support pleading. That was a surprise. I had sent this to her lawyers because her lawyers worked on election integrity litigation. One of her lawyers worked in Wisconsin on the steal there. Remember the scam in Wisconsin with the guy with the Bert from Sesame Street unibrow, Michael Spitzer Rubenstein? Well, one of her attorneys worked against that and litigated against the National Vote at Home Institute. So I sent him this dossier and he couldn't believe it because there's a whole subsection. There's about 11 pages on London and about how Hunter would never take responsibility. They had to go to a genetics testing facility in Oklahoma City. And Melissa Cohen, his current wife, actually went with Hunter to spit into the tube.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of in the film a little bit.
I got to know though. So you are you're in the White House. You're one of the last ones to leave.
Yes.
Outside the family, to leave the White House. What happened from there? I mean, how did Marco Polo start?
Yes.
Like,
and maybe elaborate too on there's a big staff of people there working, and it got thinner and thinner and thinner towards the end. So what is that like in a working culture?
It's a very good point. The
like look around, like, you know,
where'd they all go?
Where'd the rapture happen? Where's everybody
I think
at?
By December 31st, by the end of the year of 2020, most of the corporatist RNC staffers had jumped ship. They had already, some of them had job interviews lined up on the White House grounds. So they didn't believe the election was stolen.
Wow.
We just, through means, just got a RNC attorney fired, Charlie Spees, who didn't think the election was stolen. In 2020. Mm-hmm. He just got fired this week. So those types of people, the Charlie Speeses of the world, were with DJT. They didn't believe he won the election. And so they were already looking for their next job. They wanted to ride the Beltway circuit and get a lucrative position doing a soulless job so they could go get mimosas every Saturday morning.
It's kind of less like I am emotionally attached to these outcomes. I like love America. And if you're for America, I like, you know,
yes.
Is it more like an NFL franchise? Like, they, you know, the Belichick's fired. And so all the trainers, everybody's kind of looking for jobs.
Totally.
You know, and they're not really attached to it. Cause if you're a trainer for the New England Patriots, it's not like you're like, have tattoos on you and you're a fan, you bleed it for life. Like
you
work for the Raiders next week. It's irrelevant. Yeah. Like you're just, but you want to stay in the profession.
Is that what it's
perfectly.
Like?
Yeah, and I think it's a little bit more cynical because at least some of the trainers, to use your analogy, will like football. Mm-hmm. Most of the RNC staffers, and I make no distinction between DNC and RNC staffers, most of those people who did get jobs in the Trump White House or the broader Trump administration, got to be fair, it's an enterprise. There's people at HUD. There's people at the Department of Commerce. They don't really believe in anything but themselves. They're like Joe. Remember, Joe has changed every position he's ever held, from busing to abortion. He's changed everything in 50 years. Trump has been saying the same thing on Chinese trade for 40 years. Mm-hmm. We have videotapes of him. They don't believe in anything but themselves. So what that translates to is they're careerists. So if they believe that Trump didn't lose the, or that Trump lost the election, they're just going to go get another job. Whereas me and Peter and all these other folks, probably a dozen in number only, and out of 400 staffers.
Wow.
We were actually working with the president on election integrity efforts. What does that look like? Well, collecting affidavits, writing to congressmen to try to object to the scam electors' votes. And that's the tragedy of January 6th. What our goal was, nobody in the White House ever wanted a riot. And that's what it was. It was a low-scale riot. Nobody ever wanted that. What we wanted was 2 hours of debate per state, right? That's what everybody wanted on January 6th. We wanted, if it went to plan, we could have had 100 hours nonstop. So going over a course of, 5 days of, you get 2 hours per state. It's so beautiful per the Constitution. 2 hours per state of debate on the electors. That's what we wanted. We wanted 2 hours on Illinois in a slideshow. Peter would have been there. If we would have gotten that done and had 2 hours of debate, Peter would have probably been on the House floor. Gosar would have got him in, et cetera, talking about the irregularities, saying how Joey never won one of the bellwether counties, 19 of them. That's what the goal was. So that's what we were doing. Me and Joanna and Chris, we helped write the first draft of those election integrity reports that that Navarro published under his own name. We were the support staff for him. So again, I'm like you. I don't want to do any job that I'm not emotionally invested in. So and I'm balls to the wall. So if I'm there, I don't even look at it as work. I don't even it doesn't even register me as work. One of the cool things about the White House is that there's a high end grill there that it's called the West Wing Navy Mess. Okay. And there were some days during the soft coup, as I call it, where you'd eat all three meals there. Yeah, that's me. So Joanna's to the right. This is on January 18th. Brendan McComas, he's an attorney, very good attorney. He's to the left of DJT. And I've yet to get the other photos. We got one photo from that day. There's a lot of others because we stayed with him for about 90 minutes and talked.
Wow.
On January 18th. He actually asked me at that time, and I'm only saying it because it wasn't in private. There was about a dozen people there, what we should do about the January 6th protesters. And I said, pardon every one of them that's not violent. If you were violent that day, I think that you should be held accountable. Mm-hmm. By the way, if we're being frank, violence, none of the officers died. So by definition, holding to account the people that were violent is going to amount to, in a fair world, probably 6 months of probation. But he should have pardoned every single nonviolent offender there. They didn't do anything.
Who do you think is more frustrated with the riot of January 6th? Yourself, Peter Navarro, Donald Trump?
Donald Trump.
But I mean, even more so than probably the people on the left, the Adam Kissinger and
Cheney.
What a Liz piece Cheney. Of work. Mm-hmm. That seems like kind of a fake rage.
Yeah.
If it hurt someone, it hurt President Trump.
Totally. Mm-hmm. We never wanted that to occur.
It's not like that was something that they were wanting. It actually derailed a clear path towards information at least being made available.
Yes.
That all of a sudden the narrative changed and it's never changed back.
Yes. Great point.
I was probably more disappointed than Joe Biden.
Yeah.
You know, that was.
If they weren't going to get a new slate of electors, they were going to go through with this sham. And it's the election, there's so many threads to pull, so much illegality, so much lawbreaking. I go to the simple one, which is the Constitution mandates that the legislatures of the state, not the secretaries of state, not executive positions, they mandate the time, place, and manner of the elections. That did not occur. By definition, the election was unconstitutional. Just take one of them, Pennsylvania. Karen Brockvar, the Secretary of State there, she decided the time, manner, and place of elections. She decided the manner of it, mass mail-in ballots, no excuse, against the will of the legislator. So even if the slates weren't changed as a result of the debate on January 6th, if everything would have went to plan and there was no small-scale riot, then we don't get all 50 states to object. All we need is one person from each state. But let's say we only get 15 states. That's at least 30 hours on C-SPAN live talking about these scams, talking about Indians were paid to vote in Nevada, period. That is in an OIG report. They were giving Amazon gift cards to natives on the reservations, $50 gift cards to register to vote. Even mainstream outlets have reported that that's a violation of federal law. So we could have talked about all of those things. So after the January 6th, to answer your question directly, my wife was due in May. I took some time off. we moved back home to where I'm from, about 15 minutes from where I was born. And we live in Effingham, Illinois, with my wife and two, almost three, that we have a daughter due on July 4th.
Aw, congratulations. Yeah,
so we have two little boys, a girl on the way. Wow. And we live 15 minutes from my parents.
All kinds of little Ziguitos running around.
Yeah. The boys are funny. The boys are great. They're very cute. They're both handsome. They're very different, though. Harry is much more like me, and Augie, the oldest one, looks like his uncle. He's like a spitting image of his uncle. So there's just, we live totally, we got out of there fast. It's a terrible place to raise children, the DMV area in general. There are good pockets. You can find sane people, conservatives, but overall, it's a terrible place to raise kids. So even if I go back with DJT, which I hope to do, and work on staffing issues, they'll stay home. They'll stay back in Illinois. I don't live far at all from the St. Louis airport. I can go back and forth. And that's the beauty of Marco Polo, is we're all remote. The other two board members, who I met through this election integrity work.
So when you were still in the White House,
I was still in the White House. Okay. Yeah, I didn't know anybody involved in Marco Polo until the soft coup. And what the soft coup did is, like us right now, it brought together people that recognized key basic truths. And when you're brought together, not through geography, because sometimes you grow up and you have friends, you're like, wait, I don't even really like you. It's not that you hate the person. It's just like, I was friends with you because we grew up together.
Right.
But for everybody who knows that November of 2020 was a scam, they kind of, become fast friends. Mm-hmm. And so that's what happened with Marco Polo. We all, we're working on election integrity work, from collecting affidavits to creating this site called everylegalvote.com, which was basically people submitting stories of election fraud, what they witnessed, etc. And through that, after Joe was installed, because I got to know Rudy through Peter, I got a copy of the—
Rudy Giuliani.
I got a copy of the hard drive. And unlike everybody else who was doing it through this one-off, this is a fountain. The hard drive is such a fountain of stories. Mm-hmm. If we were an established news outlet, we could have ran an exclusive every week for the entirety of Joey's first term. But we weren't an established news outlet. We wanted to do something different. And that's why we took this 18-month period from January of 21 we released it in October of 22. But we took all that time to go through all the emails, to go through all the photos and just log the criminal activity. So this dossier—
I want to clarify one thing with you real quick before we get into this. Two issues that think in terms of like skeptics or the people throwing snowballs and tomatoes at you. Doxing, you know, and hey, this guy's putting out people's personal information. You know, this guy, you know, that topic. And then also address, like, you know, I don't know where on the spectrum people find this, but some version of then you must have illegally gone into Hunter's house and taken his personal private property, you know, or how did you, you know, hacked into his system somehow? And, you know, like, can you address those two kind of camps as we even begin? And we'll be right back with Garrett.
You know, it is a crazy time in this world, and we have three grandchildren, and it's something that's on our mind a lot is if something happened to the grid, if, I don't know, who knows? We were not expecting 2020.
You know.
Yeah, exactly.
You're thinking about it.
What would we do to help feed our family? You saw what happened with toilet paper in 2020. What if something happens with our food supply? So we've been really researching. We really respect Seth Holthaus, and he's somebody that, Man in America, he's somebody that said, this is a really great company.
Well, because he's taking great strides in his life to be prepared.
Oh, yeah, and he's got chickens.
Do all of these things. So, you know, just like everybody in life, you look at who's a little further ahead than you and what decisions are they making, because they've done the research. If you're buying a computer or a phone or a TV, you talk to somebody that's just researched and done those things. And we reached out and sought out HeavensHarvest.com because, A, best prices for the highest quality product. And we tried a bunch of them ourselves, but they have heirloom seeds that you can get today. A lot of seeds, when you plant them, you know, crops grow. You should be able to have seeds to replant, not if they're genetically modified. So they got heirloom seeds that you can have in perpetuity, no matter what, and be able to keep things going on in the future. And the other thing they have is food that's actually edible.
That it's actually a serving, which I think is really important. It's actually the amount that an adult would eat versus a tablespoon or two tablespoons, which you don't know when you're getting with other companies.
Yeah, you can't live on some, you know, nutritionally blank pudding if there was a crisis. You want real food that's going to nourish your body. But if you're a person that has children, that has grandchildren, that has people that you care about, this is something that you could have on hand if they have to come to you. This is something that you could give as kits so they're prepared. And I'm not saying you got to like doomsday hunker down for a year or 2 years or, you know, these things. But think in terms of, hey, what if I had to go 1 week? Would I be okay? What if I had to go maybe build up to 2 weeks? Would I be okay? Maybe think in terms of a month. Would I be okay based on the people in your life? So this is a great source. It's what we've gone with personally for prepping food and heirloom seeds that you want on hand that probably could be more valuable than gold in the right situation.
Gosh, that is so true. So you can go to heavensharvest.com. Heavensharvest.com. Use promo code FLYOVER for 10% off.
It's a great company. You'll be glad you did. Now, let's jump back into the conversation with Gary.
I'll take the second one first.
Okay.
Hunter, on April 12th of 2019, took three laptops to a repair shop in Wilmington, Delaware, which is where he's from. He forgot to pick one of them up. The repairman, after 90 days of contacting Hunter, it became the repairman's property because of the agreement that Hunter signed. The agreement literally states device data copied to store server and then put on a hard drive because the laptop was waterlogged. That's the whole, that's the background. So he probably got vodka or some substance on the laptop. He takes it in to get the data off of it. He never picks it up. This repairman.
So starts, did he bring the laptop in of, hey, it's got a squeaky hinge or something, or this, you know, the P-Bet doesn't work?
Yeah, it was waterlogged. So he literally could not, it would not stay on long enough. This is based on the
purpose of it being there
filed.
Was to extract all the
exactly.
data and, off of this device and to make it available on something
yes.
else. That's
and
the
like
purpose.
Any repair shop, like let's say you go to an every upholsterer, if the stuff is not picked up at a certain time, they will take it and probably sell it.
You almost lost a pair of boots that way recently.
I did. I forgot my shoes at the shoe repair place.
Every state law, there's no federal law about this, but even the Delaware state law says it's a year. Now, the shop owner's agreement was 90 days, but even under Delaware state law, we're in the clear. So the shop owner starts going through the data after 90 days in detail and says, holy cow. First of all, he wasn't into politics, so he didn't know what the impact of what he had was. But then he started watching the impeachment scam number one happen at this time, and he realized that Burisma and Ukraine were figuring very prominently in that scam impeachment. And he realizes that Hunter has been paid $83,000 a month for years by this company. And he calls the FBI. The FBI takes the original device, the original Hunter Biden laptop, via grand jury subpoena on December 9th of 2019. Before they do that, he smartly makes a copy of it. He sends a one-page memo to congressmen in the spring of 2020 saying, hey, the FBI is not doing anything about this. They came in December and nothing's happened. Hunter should have been indicted. If we're living in a legitimate country, a country that works on tips and the law enforcement does its job regardless of whose last name is on the evidence sheet, Hunter would have been indicted probably March of 2020. That's what a real country does. Well, he wasn't. And August of 2020 comes around, and in desperation, the shop owner gives a copy to Rudy. So the chain of custody is the shop owner made a copy. The shop owner gave it to Rudy's attorney first, Robert Costello, then gives it to Rudy, and then I got a copy. So we're in the clear through every way. There has been Supreme Court precedent. And the attorney in Kansas City that we have, Eddie Grimes, has written about this voluminously. There was a case in 2001, I believe, called Bartnicki, which states that a reporter or an author, even if the information was obtained illegally, which this wasn't, but let's just say it was. If you are just the recipient and you had nothing to do with the theft of the data, you can still talk about it and report on it. So that's what we're doing. I'm the third chain of this link.
Yeah.
And we put all the source data up. And doxing is an interesting one. There's no federal statute against it. And the one that does is 18 U.S.C. 119. And that deals with intent. So we have no desire to publish somebody's personal information for the intent for somebody to go kill them. And that statute requires that intent. So we put on our email site, BidenLaptopEmails.com, which has all the emails for free that everybody can go download and search your local officials, et cetera. You see at the bottom, there's some legalese that says if you use this information, you know, we have no knowledge that this is going to be used to. In fact, I'll read it for your audience.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people are mowing their grass right now or something. Yeah. Anyway,
having seen the lengths that the FBI, I wrote this, having seen the lengths that the FBI and other entities in the apparatus have gone to harass citizens who expose corruption, and pursuant to 18 U.S.C. 119, Margopolo testifies that the contents of the Biden laptop were abandoned property. That hyperlink goes to a lawsuit about it. Furthermore, Margopolo unequivocally disclaims any intention to cause any threat, intimidating action, or incitement of harm to any person covered by 18 U.S.C., and we do not condone, encourage, intend, or have any knowledge that any other person will or may use the information herein for any unlawful purpose. Margopolo's motive is to see justice delivered to all criminals, including the U.S. First Family, by those whose responsibility it is to carry out that duty. So that is a huge asterisk saying that, number one, we do not fit the legal definition of doxing. Not one state law. Every single state doxing statute, because we looked them up, has to have intent of harm. We have none of that. Everybody who's ever been – in fact, this is a part of our lawsuit with Kevin Morris. Kevin Morris sued us in May of 2023 under a California state law, and it got dismissed. And he owes us about $50,000 in legal fees because there's no private right of action. The only person who can enforce a state doxing law in California is a DA, is the state's attorney. He was trying to use a criminal code to privately sue us, and even a liberal judge named Richard Epstein dismissed our anti-slap motion, or dismissed his. So he owes us money, and he's going to the California appellate court. So this litigation is now in the California appellate court up in Sacramento. And nothing we have posted has been our own creation in terms of the databases. This is exactly how we received it. So this is exactly what WikiLeaks did, and yet we do it better than WikiLeaks in one way. If you click download all raw EML files, you can actually see the metadata. So what WikiLeaks did, and it was incredible, was post the emails. But if some forensic investigator wants to look at the metadata on these emails and show that they're all legit, these are all – the DKIM codes match. Even the Washington Post was able to verify more than 20,000. The only ones that they weren't able to verify is because the time span has been so great that the DKIM signatures are no longer valid. But all of them – they've not found in over 5 years of propaganda one forged email. It's all real. That's why they're suing us.
And I heard you actually read all 128,000.
Yes.
Is that right?
That took me about 13 months.
Wow. Yeah.
And it was systematic, 250, 300 a day. And what we did was we flag them. Remember, not everything on the laptop is in this dossier, but we can guarantee that all criminal activity on the laptop is. That's what we did. So I flagged ones, I starred them, that had obvious evidence of criminal activity. What is that? Well, representing a foreign agent, being a foreign agent for a foreign principal without disclosing that to the Justice Department. It's what Paul Manafort got charged with. It's what many people get charged with, but not Hunter, because Hunter is a princeling. I love that word.
A princeling.
The Chi-Coms use it. It's a very popular word. Obviously, it's not in English, but the Mandarin equivalent of princeling is what's used to criticize the progeny of the CCP elite. These are never-do-wells, people who are spoiled, and they are just they're in the lucky sperm club. So that's what Hunter is. He's a princeling. Nothing that Hunter has ever done or will ever do is based on his own aptitude. This is somebody with just a fairly average IQ. None of his positions or income have been in any way commensurate with his innate abilities. This is a total average person. But Joey's his daddy.
Okay, I have to ask, why Joey? Where did this come from?
Oh, it's what his family calls him. So his sister, who's a witch as well, along with Jill, her name is Valerie, and she wrote this children's book about Joe. Can you believe it? It's entitled Joey. That's what all of his family calls him. And, you know, I just have, again, when you go through somebody's private communications, imagine you left your device somewhere and somebody saw how you talk to everybody. So we don't just know how Hunter is to his daddy. We know how Hunter is to his daughters, and that's – on one show, somebody asked me, okay, what's a redeeming quality about him? And the only redeeming quality that I can surmise after years of research into him and his habits and comportment is that he's generous with his daughters. It's about the only thing. He's not nice to people. He's not kind. Like if somebody found your or my device, they would find, you know, heated arguments with other people in Marco Polo, right? They'd find some cuss words, but they would at least find some virtues. They would. amidst all the other stuff, I'm not a perfect person, obviously. I'm not saying every single thing I've written has been kind, but with Hunter, it's all self-gain. It's all – I mean, for years of his life, this guy's main priority, along with procuring prostitutes, was crack cocaine. So we have – I mean, in this dossier, which goes through business-related crimes, sex-related crimes, and drug-related crimes, we literally list, through the help of private investigators
here's the book, Joey.
Jill and Valerie helped with it too. It's disgusting.
So I kind of picture this a little bit like Libs of TikTok in a way. They don't create videos to make people look bad. They're just like, hey, this person made this video.
Yes.
This is what she says about her students. Mm-hmm. And it's they kind of unbiased, but it's sort of just taking what's in a leftist echo chamber and putting it where everybody sees it. And it seems incriminating. Like, why are you hating on these people? But she's simply just playing their own content for a general audience.
It's brilliant how you put it. And what she's done is brilliant. I really love that. I subscribe on every platform to her channel.
It'll have to make you want to homeschool. If you never thought about it, homeschool. Watch Libs of TikTok for a minute. Maybe, actually, if you like your children, you should get them out of the public, you know, what I call government institutionalized education.
Yep. I totally agree. And we are so dry in this dossier, meaning whatever, if I've ever used colorful language on this interview, that's not how the dossier is written. It's like a law enforcement roadmap. We don't have delusions of grandeur. No DA is going to hold this up in the courtroom. What this is simply a roadmap that if you're interested in the criminal activity on the device, here's where it is. We literally will. So what we do is in these iMessages that Hunter has with his pimps and drug dealers, we run the number very quickly. We'll find who they are. We'll probably find old mugshots of them if they're drug dealers. And we just lay that out. You know, on this day, Hunter texted this figure who he named so-and-so in his contacts, procured the crack cocaine at this address. Because we know the rendezvous, because the rendezvous are in the text messages. So what do? We go to Google Earth and take a screenshot of the rendezvous, which is next to maybe a 7-Eleven or an abandoned warehouse. And that's what we put in the report. So Hunter, if he's mad at us, and we know he is because he sued us, he's mad at his own conduct. We have had a donor in Florida has offered $1,000 to anybody. They can be a blue-haired nincompoop to find an heir in this. $1,000 bounty. And I renew that bounty today. If anybody can find a material heir, meaning not a misspelling, but an heir where we said something occurred and something didn't occur, it's a $1,000 bounty. And we say that on the first page. First of all, we say that given the explicit nature of the content on the Biden laptop, this report is for an adult readership. That's number one. But number two, heirs are the fault of the authors alone, and if identified, will be amended immediately. So we have a standing request that any heirs, that any – because you were talking about devil's advocate. Anybody who finds an inaccuracy about the report that I'm talking about today. And we're not hubristic. If somebody can prove – that we're wrong, we'll update it, and we'll have an apology.
How long did it take you to write this?
About 9 months. 644 pages.
644, and all of the research.
All the research.
So was it the group of Marco Polo that put it together?
Did the research, okay. Yeah. So I wrote every word just because we tried to do group writing and the voices were different. You could tell that many people had written it. So I did all the writing, but the background research, what we did was this person would take, hey, I want you to do all hooker solicitations from January to May of 2018.
It's amazing that's a category.
Yeah, I know. You know,
it wasn't like a one bad weekend.
Yeah, so
one bad weekend on a
for
trip.
About how to do this. Do we do all chronological? Because the material in the laptop starts in about 2008 and it goes to March of 2019. So we split the baby Solomon style. We did chronological but by category. So within the business related crimes, the report's chronological. Within the sex related crimes, it's chronological. So yeah, somebody would do, hey, I want you to take these solicitations, you to take these. And then the lawyer who's on our board, he was a trial lawyer for 10 years, you know, it's done month-long trials. He was the city attorney for Greensboro, North Carolina. He looked at all the statutes. So sort of the cheat code, I luckily opened up right to it. On page 52, you'll see this is all the crimes, when they were committed, the venue that any honorable prosecutor would bring it, meaning is it a local court or a federal court, who is involved, and then the what, which is the statute code. So one of the things I learned, even though I didn't go to law school, is I basically memorize the statute for a particular mode of conduct.
So the categories are when, where, who, what.
And I'm obsessed with
on
those.
On page 52.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, this is the epitome of actionable. So when somebody says, you know, Hunter Biden's a crook, that's not how we operate. And we are the reason why he hasn't sued us for defamation at all is because we don't defame him. I've never – we don't want to accuse Hunter of doing something he didn't do because I've been on the end of that, and it's terrible. Somebody just says something, and it's totally not supported, and that is immoral, and we're Christians. So when we say, no, Hunter Biden's a criminal, he committed crimes, we have to have the level of specificity. So it's not just Hunter implicated on May 24th, 2018. It's his uncle Jimmy and Aunt Sarah. And the statutes violated are conspiracy, money laundering, and the concomitant Pennsylvania state code for money laundering. What were they doing? They were moving a $1 million wire transfer from Patrick Ho, who Colton and I were talking about. Patrick Ho was a, in Hunter's words, was the effing spy chief of China. Now, he was a spy, and he was from China, but he just wasn't the spy chief. That was Hunter bragging to a prostitute.
Oh, right. How did you – okay, I just have to ask this. How did you not just get slimed? I mean, when I mean slimed, I mean just end up just like – it's just – ugh. Like – going through all of this information,
it's like a wreck on the side of the interstate. I mean,
you feel like you just got to go take a shower or something. Like, how did you deal with that?
Number one, I'm not in D.C. anymore. I'm in total normal America. There's a Casey's in my town. It's a good.
They have good pizza.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a good. That's a if you're by a Casey's, and I don't usually go to it much because the gas is more expensive, but that's just an aside. But if you're in a town with a Casey's, you're next to normal people. So
that's pretty good. That's a good metric.
Yeah,
I prefer Quick Trip is like my
yes,
ideal
it's
favorite.
Cleaner, it's cleaner.
Yeah, it's cleaner. But Casey's does have good pizza.
They don't have the, you know, the Fireball whiskey stack, you know, there at the checkout. You know, Quick Trip is a little more family.
Well, that's friendly. What I love about you guys. I love the name. I love the branding. I love it. I love it all.
But Casey's does have the best pizza.
They do.
And that is a good way to separate. You know, when you go through this laptop, I'm not a – I have very few things in common with Hunter. My dad's not a senator. My dad runs a water treatment plant. The only thing I have in common with Hunter is that we're both born in February. It's about it. And I've looked a lot. We have nothing in common. So
all the Casey's stores. The flyover country right there.
There you go. That's,
holy cow.
That's the flyover conservative map.
Yeah, so look at Illinois. It's like a dartball game. It's all in Illinois. So that's hilarious. That has never come up in an interview before.
Yeah. Good job, Producer Colton.
The way you stay grounded is you just don't. I have nothing. His lifestyle is totally foreign to me. Mm-hmm. For instance, after he got some of the Chi-Com wires, he went from Dulles to LAX, and he just like rented a Lamborghini. Gallardo there for just a week while he was at the Chateau Marmont. He got kicked out of the Chateau. It's a famous, infamous rather, hotel in Beverly Hills where John Belushi died, OD'd in an elevator. That's where Hunter basically camped out for about 5 months, prostitutes, drug dealers, etc. And some of this is in his semi-fictional memoir. It's actually his memoirs being used in the prosecution against him. But I hope I'm answering your question by saying it is so foreign to me. It's not that I don't sin, but his conduct. Remember, sometimes one of the complaints of one of his prostitutes in Vegas, Cheryl DeBovs is her name. We wrote a piece. The Daily Wire did a piece based on our work and based on our report that she got a PPP loan after Joey got installed for $20,000. One of his prostitutes got a PPP loan for, and her listed occupation was independent performer. So one of Hunter's hookers actually got a PPP loan after Joey was installed for being a hooker. It's in our report. But the reason why I bring Cheryl up is one of her complaints to Hunter via text message was that he had too many girls there. She said, do one girl at a time. I understand you like many girls, but I can't do this with that many girls. And this is not, you know, I'm not trying to be, I'm not making anything
just,
up. This
just
is
the kind of stuff that's in
literally
there.
What's in the laptop.
All right, let's break it into three categories then. And I don't know the percentages of this, so let's just throw it out there. But here's kind of the three things that people would talk about is okay, this guy is a global financial expert, the smartest guy that the president of the United States knows. And so he's the head of like a global finance empire. He's a consultant to gas companies. So I'm assuming there's going to be a lot of like financial data. Number two, for some reason, he has he doesn't just do something. He likes to film it.
Yes.
Which is an odd thing. And so there's that category of just what kind of got the most attention was the debauchery.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Involved. And then the third category is like emails, financial exchanges, those things. So in those three categories, because a lot of people will say, oh, this is a bad deal because you're going through all of his, you know, his Excel spreadsheets and financial data dealing with Burisma and all of, you know, you're getting into everybody else's financial business. So in these three categories, what was the most amount? If it was a buffet, you know, what was the most amount of content of those three categories?
Number three would be the largest conversations. A lot of back and forth between the mother of his three daughters, now his ex-wife, Kathleen Buell. And I would say that one of the funniest things is, like you said, his public excuse is that he was a financier. We only found two Excel documents on his laptop over 11 years. That's hilarious. You would think that somebody who is in private equity would have 400. No, he had two, which meant that it was all show. Hunter did zero work. His work was calling people. In fact, his calendar for some days was just make a call at 10 a.m. to one of his daddy's old donors.
So a global financier and energy consultant, and also kind of there's a lot of land deals, I think, in Africa as well. He's very talented and art, but in the whole laptop, there's only two Excel spreadsheets.
Some of his interactions with his staff are his staff doesn't know where he is. So they had an office at 1010 Wisconsin Avenue Northwest in DC, like right downtown. And sometimes his assistant has no idea where he is. So people would try to call him. This is a guy who does zero work. Normal people in flyover country, when they don't work, they feel guilty. Mm-hmm. Because they feel that either they're cheating their family out or their employer out. There's none of that with Hunter. There's no feelings of remorse. Like when he doesn't like the work, that's what came out in his semi-fictional memoir. He thought that he, in his own words, was on the hamster wheel because he got used to this level of lifestyle of sending the girls to private schools, of his wife with their $9,000 Neiman Marcus bill. He felt that he needed to do this work to stay up with the Joneses, but he hated it. That's why now he's doing his doodles, because he likes that. He likes doing his doodles. And it came out in the book that he also—
You're talking about his high-priced art.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the way you call things.
I just want to translate.
His goal in life was to be a writer at The New Yorker. That's what he really wanted to do. And the end, he ended up being in private equity, but he hated private equity. That's why he had other people. Chris Hines, Carrie's stepson, that's the guy who actually knows what he's doing. He's corrupt, but he actually knows finance. Hunter knew none of it.
You see Hines, like the ketchup mustard guys, all that.
Yep,
like, that's multi-generational wealth.
Totally. And that's who Hunter's business partner was.
But still a doer.
But Hunter was too brazen. When they got on the board of Burisma, when Hunter and Devin Archer, had a brownstone in Brooklyn and a house in Long Island, he was on the hamster wheel too. So that's part of the reason why they joined Burisma. Hunter's public excuse for joining Burisma was that his brother had cancer treatments and he didn't want to spend all the time at the office. First of all, he was spending hardly any time at the office. But his Burisma money was what he called funny money. So he got $83,000 a month for doing hardly any work. So he can tell the public now that, I was going down to MD Anderson in Houston with my brother. And so he's made excuse at every single juncture of his grift. He's never just apologized. There's always an excuse. There's always obfuscation. It's behavior of a 9-year-old boy. So our report does not take the position that this is some financier extraordinaire, brilliant guy, Joey, you know, the smartest man Joey knows. No, because some people will criticize conservatives, sometimes rightly, and say, you can't have it both ways. Hunter can't be completely pathetic, but also be the mastermind. No, our position is nuanced and true and multifaceted, which is he's a whore. He's a political whore. He whored out his family's name for money. That's what he did. He didn't have expertise he has no idea how to get natural gas out of the ground. Not a clue. Now, to people who aren't in that industry, like if you hired me to try to get natural gas out of the ground, I would feel like I was scamming you because I don't know anything about the industry. That never occurred to him that he knew nothing about natural gas. Oh, yeah. Biden, right? And they put his bio up there. And, he was on the board of the World Food Program USA. All he did was glad hand at Syrian refugee camps. The guy knows nothing. This guy's a zero. So our report is not just, that Hunter's a whore. It's that Joey used that whoring out from his son to get cash for the family. That's essentially the story. And the reason why it matters is very simple. Joey resides at 1600. And he can control the nuclear forces of the United States. Joey can tell an aircraft carrier to go a certain place in the middle in the Mediterranean. And his son and his family are like this.
What were you hoping when you were writing this? What were you hoping that people would gain? When you finished this, what were you hoping that people would know and maybe action steps that people would take?
Because it's a massive amount of work.
It's a lot of work.
Thank you. And it was a group effort. And the number one thing, I'll answer the first part of your question in that. The number one thing is granularity. I don't want anybody to be able to say we don't know what's on the laptop. Whether or not this reaches – we're well aware of our limitations in marketing. First of all, we have no marketing department. Second of all, we are totally throttled on every – we're messed with by everybody. We get debanked. X has a ban. X has a shadow ban on our account still because we have sensitive content. We're never going to reach 15 – 25 million people in the United States. We're just hoping to reach 10, right? So we're well aware of our limitations. So somebody out there in the ether might say, I don't know what's in the laptop. But for everybody who does, for everybody who's heard of us, we never want them to be able to say we don't know what's on that laptop because we look through the laptop for years and we went through it. That's a funny picture of me holding it up. That's one of our, that's at our retreat. That's one of the Marco Polo guys took that picture. We had our retreat up in, by Lake Michigan last fall. That was right after we got sued. So again, it's a basically an open source intelligence collective. What we do every day, we're such nerds. We follow OSINT blogs and simple things like how to extract WhatsApp profiles from telephone numbers. Like that's what we did for the hookers. So what we did was we had all these phone numbers.
But you never thought you'd say that sentence.
I know.
We had all these phone numbers for the hookers, but sometimes they smartly disconnected the number. So how do you ID the woman based on an inactive number? Well, we had private investigators, but sometimes they'll get a burner at Walmart. So how do you connect the person? Well, you know, there's open source tools out there like Sayon and other things, Venmo for that matter, We're the king and queen of Venmo. We know Venmo better than anybody. Venmo is the greatest data harvesting tool ever. And by the way, they had to change their source code for the Bidens. After Joey got in, a reporter found all the Bidens' personal Venmos and was basically like seeing what they were paying each other and for how much. Venmo's terribly, by its own admission, a data harvesting tool. So we do that on the bad guys. We find their Venmo accounts, see who they're paying. That's how we know a lot of the hookers and the pimps.
Because Hunter would pay on Venmo.
They'd pay on Venmo.
Wow,
that's in the indictment. Hunter Venmo'd one of the hookers about $1,100. That's actually in his indictment. Hilarious, right? Absolutely hilarious. There's so much sociology packed into the vice. I mean, remember Hunter is resentful to the other members of the Biden family for being the bag man. He doesn't want to do this work. If Hunter could be the bag man while being an artist or a writer, he'd love it. But he was the bag man for years in an industry that he loathed. So he was always lashing out at his girls. You have no idea the sacrifices I've made. One time he was spilling his guts to a hooker about how nobody appreciated him. And she was badgering him to pay him. She's like, hey, send a $1 test payment on Cash App and I need and send another $500 one. So she was wanting to get paid like any working gal. And he's, you know, totally complaining about the Biden's lack of appreciation of Hunter's grifting. It's absolutely fascinating, absolutely hilarious. That's why I think we have struck a nerve so deeply within the family. All of them have been blocked on everything. Naomi Biden, his daughter, 29 years old, went to Columbia Law. Columbia Law, pen under her head. She has us blocked on everything. They can't stand us. And again, no commentary. Hardly any commentary, maybe a little, but no commentary. We've never accused Hunter or Naomi of anything they haven't done. We are not traffickers in misinformation, right? This is all legit. But their recourse is not to examine it. It's just to say, you're a hater, you're a bigot. This should have been done by a much larger entity. If Don Jr.'s laptop had been left at a repair
shop, imagine?
Washington Post would have about $10 million and about a team of people. They would have hired – now, we hired forensics people – because we were clever and did, but it took forever. We were able to do it for much less than what it should have cost because we had people who were volunteers. But the Washington Post would have had every tool imaginable, every OSINT tool in the world, mapping out all these connections. All we did, well, it took a while because we had nobody helping us, but we just put all the emails online and let people, and the biggest one has been the photos. That's part of the reason, one of the causes of action in Hunter's lawsuit against us in California is that we modified his data. First of all, it's not his data. But secondly, they're suing us because we put redactions over his genitalia. So by that logic, they're complaining that their client was that his genitalia was rejected. Yep, manipulated the image. So by his own Abby Lowell's own logic, would have required us to show naked pictures of his client. This is a guy who teaches at Georgetown Law.
And so you family friendly this as much as you could.
Totally. We don't. There's no genitalia in their report.
There's no point in this but being pornographic or anything. You actually cleaned it up.
Totally. And okay. And
I've not seen it.
Yes. Yeah, so,
nor do I want to.
So every piece of genitalia
take a shower.
Is covered. There's no genitalia in the report. We don't redact anything more than necessary, but there's no genitalia in the report. We've never distributed porn. Hilariously, they're saying we violated a California business regulation by engaging in deceptive business practices by redacting their client's genitalia. These are Winston Strawn people. Mm. Abby Lowell is like $2,000 an hour. You have somebody at the paid for by Kevin Morris, the bong smoker. You have somebody paid $2,000 an hour to write a lawsuit against us for covering their client's genitalia. That's how pathetic these people are.
It is upside down world.
All of them need to be disbarred. All of them need to be disbarred. This is not representing a client. Hunter doesn't have a legitimate grievance. I am a sane person. If there is a lawyer, let's say I leave here today and a kid runs out in front of me. Not my fault, right? But a kid runs – it's the plot of a movie called Bella. It's a very good movie. It's a pro-life movie actually. But anyways, part of that plot is a kid runs out in the middle of the road and he gets – all these legal actions commence, even though it wasn't his fault, he didn't slow down, etc. That is a legal dispute that is legitimate, right? Maybe it wasn't your fault. Do you have to pay? Does the insurance company pay? That is not what any of this is about. This is about ruining me and the group that I'm involved with. That's part of the reason why the other guys stay anonymous as they can. Not the board members, of course, but the volunteers. Because Abby Lowell wants to write – that's part of the reason why I'm here in Kansas City is – our attorney, Eddie Grime, had to write to the Inspector General of the Treasury Department because Abby Lowell asked for a criminal investigation of me personally because somebody within J.P. Morgan Chase, somebody within the bank, somebody within the anti-money laundering division gave us suspicious activity reports. And that's what was cited in the congressional report, the very first one. So Abby Lowell he's a liar. He about 85% of what comes out of his mouth is a lie. And the reason why I bring up the example of the Bella plot is just to show that if this were legitimate, I don't just trash attorneys to trash attorneys. Meaning if he were speaking the truth about Hunter, even if it were against me, I would accurately look at that. But this is just slop. These lawsuits against us are just total ridiculous. I mean, there's so much Supreme Court litigation already going over exactly what we did. Authors have been doing this. Authors have been writing about data that's not Hunter's or another person's. That's the precedents that would be set by Hunter prevailing in this lawsuit is insane. You would effectively muzzle so many authors for the rest of the United States. It's unconstitutional what they're doing.
Do you feel safe?
Totally. Like, physically, yes.
Physically, you feel safe?
Yeah.
I mean, you're coming against some pretty big people.
Yeah, I think the thing that they know is we have a spread out donor base. We're a national group. And if we don't have the lawfare, we could do this in perpetuity. Like, we have the donor base where our group can grow. We've had 100% growth over 3 years, both in donations and then expenses because of the lawfare. They figured out that their lawfare is their only hope. If they do not have us engaged in permanent litigation, we're not going to stop. So like these strongly worded letters that Fox News received, we have many of those from Hunter's attorneys. They're garbage. They're ridiculous. We put them in the trash. And so that's their strategy. So I don't fear physical harm. What I am doing is trying to beef up the lawfare. And just – I don't even care if people donate to our group. I just want them to donate to our attorneys because our attorneys have a nonprofit set up as well.
And we'll be right back with Garrett.
You know, something that really jumps out to me while we're talking about this content is those in charge don't necessarily always have our best interests in mind.
So true.
When they go to bed at night. They're like, hey, how are we taking care of the people that we're leading? Those in charge of banking and the education industry.
Our country.
Our country as a whole. And starking change that's happened over the last 3 years is foreign interests have gained control of areas of finance that are impacting us in a negative way. Not just inflation and the prices at the store, but specifically the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. And that number has grown dramatically over the last 3 years. And what's interesting is those nations are backing a currency in gold. And so basically banding together to work together financially, cutting the United States out, making our dollar
worthless.
Not something that the globe is clamoring after the way they have for the last several decades. We've lost the place of the petrodollar. And you say, well, if this is happening, if you're on a boat full of woodpeckers and it's going down, what is my life raft off the Titanic? How do I assess this?
Well, such a great question.
Well, for 25 years, we've had a friend that has two PhDs and specializes in this direct area, Kirk Elliott, Dr. Kirk Elliott. They call him Dr. Doctor because he has two PhDs. He's earned it. And if you want to get out of something that can just be printed at will, an extra $1 trillion a quarter pretty much is what they're creating and just throwing out into the market, making every dollar that you have worth less every time they do it. You need something that can't be printed. And
something that's tangible.
Something that's tangible that you can physically touch. They can't just make more silver in a back room. And that's what makes it valuable. And I'll tell you, in this space, two things to watch out for. One, I got a really kind of cool coin here. It's got Donald Trump's picture on it. I bought it because it's kind of funny. It's kind of cool. But I paid more than spot price for it. I only bought one as kind of a collector thing. There's a difference between buying something because it has a story and it's kind of neat. But when I go to sell this, it's going to be worth whatever the spot price is per ounce. And it would take a long time for this to ever be worth what I paid for it, other than just me having it as a neat thing. When you buy bullion, you're getting the ounces of silver close to the spot price. And so you can get 1 ounce, you can get 10 ounce, you can get 100 ounce, you can get all kinds of different denominators. You can store them at home. You can have it kept at a facility that's protected and safe, and then be able to liquidate that back into whatever currency, whatever denomination you want in the future within about 48 hours. It's not like an investment property or an oil well investment or, you know, something else. You're getting out of something that you know is at a peak bubble and it's going down, and getting into something that's physical and tangible, protecting yourself from, again, a wooden boat full of woodpeckers, which is basically those running our economic policies right now.
And we can connect you with Dr. Kirk. Like David said, we've known him for over 25 years. And if you would like a free consultation, just go to flyovergold.com, fill out your information, and someone from Dr. Kirk's team will get a hold of you to set up that free consultation. Or you can call 720-605-3900. Yep. Again, 720-605-3900 to set up that free consultation.
He's incredibly smart. And this is something you probably hear about now more than ever. And if you're like, I want to know what's best for me, this is a great way to go through finding out your specific retirement plan, your IRA, what you have going, what are your options? And then you sit back, pray about it, think about it. What do you want to do? And then make an intelligent move forward, not from emotion, not from fear, but a place that's going to give you peace.
Yes, and you can sleep at night. So important. Now let's jump back in with Garrett.
So the book itself is not a book you can go buy on Amazon and download. But it's like donation.
It's donation based. It's donation based.
It's not your typical, you're going to get a copy of, you know, Catcher in the Rye or something.
Yeah,
know?
No. It's so. Like, so what we the very first day we got it done, October 19th, 2022, we put the PDF out for free. 2 weeks later, we created this e-reader, which is beautiful. I love it. Because number one, you don't have to download a 275 megabyte PDF. And secondly, there's a keyword search. So if you search the word plausible, they always use this phrase plausible deniability, right? There's a couple of these where plausible deniability, right? This is a phrase that Jimmy Biden said to Tony Bobulinski, where they make it so that Joe is just far enough away from the deal to where he doesn't know them. It's just standard mob behavior. The mob boss does not want to know all the details because if he's ever called in front of a jury, he doesn't want to, he wants to honestly say, I don't know, right? I know nothing. So
can you search big guy?
Oh yeah, the big guy. It'll come up
in there. The chairman, I think, is another one that I've heard referenced.
Oh, I would say page 120. Go to that one. Page 120, right in the middle. Yeah, it's with the intro and outro. It's 116 in the report. But yeah, that's the email May 13th, 2017. It's a remuneration proposal by this guy, James Gillier. That's a meme we put in. By the way, all of us have a sense of humor. You see that meme down there of Joey sniffing the 10% to the right? That's just absolutely hilarious. But that guy, my friend made that. But that's James Gillier. He's an Englishman, former MI6. He was the guy charged with his daughter's blocked us on everything because his daughter worked for Hillary Clinton. So James, what does this mean? Why go into this? Well, because if you read this report, you won't just have a blank email in front of you. We have pictures of who they are. We have other background information. The narrative, the three lines
There's the big arrow right there, the famous line.
10 held by H for the big guy. Yeah, everything purple in the report, this is how I describe it. Everything purple is our own notes, right? So that's not on the actual email, obviously, right? That's a screenshot. But all this page alone took us probably 3 days. Why? Because you have to go through each email, control P, meaning print it, put it in preview, convert it from a PDF to a PNG, and then do the notations.
Wow.
And then drag it all in. And I had to make sure each narrative was just big enough to fit on that. So if you go up, just scroll up just a little bit more, you see how every sentence ends like right there. That took a while to basically map out how I wanted to word each and every sentence so where it always ended at like three or four sentences.
So what's the number like it says Bobulinski's confirmation 579? What's the 579 for? What's that reference to? Like right above the picture, the last sentence of the paragraph up top.
On the right.
The last sentence there along with Bobulinski's confirmation. So that's tied to what?
579 will be tied to an article. Yeah, back in 2013, basically about, and that's the picture of it. That's another. So what we try to explain in this page is that the big guy in 2017, Joe, wasn't the first time Joe had been referred to as such. So if you see that email from Jeff Rogers, you'll see him say the big guy. Well, that goes back to 2013. So that article in Politico was about how Joey went to a hunter's club and helped serve food, right? Because it was like this is in southern Delaware. Delaware is a weird state. The South is very conservative. Delaware was a weird union state that had slavery. It's really weird. Anyways, Joey's picture is from that Politico article, which we cite in footnote 579. And then that email is from the Biden laptop talking about that Politico article. And then he refers to him as the big guy. So we have three separate occasions. And then Hunter's dealing with a union boss in 2010. So in 2010, so what if every page we write for the devil's advocate, what if the devil's advocate says, you know, we have no other illusion as Joe is the big guy. We don't know if that's Joe. It could be, but you don't know for sure. No. This is long. People outside of the family knew that that's what Hunter called him. It's the big guy. Hunter was in his father's shadow and was his emissary for his entire life. Anybody in Delaware would tell you this, that Joey's owned the state. So we just put in two other emails from the laptop where Joey is referred to that. So yeah, it is. I'm very proud that you asked that because if somebody wants to go into each of these exhibits, they can.
It almost seems like a Bible concordance, like a one of these kind of things back and forth.
That article in 578 too about how the Czech Republic basically had been bought by CEFC, which was the Chinese energy conglomerate. That's what my 2022 was spent finding other allusions to these businesses, to these scenarios in the laptop that somebody had already written about. So in total, there are over 2,000 footnotes. It took me more time to map out all the footnotes and put them in the format than it did the 644 pages.
Sounds like you worked harder putting this together than Hunter did creating the mess.
It was basically I couldn't have done it alone, number one. That's point number one. Point number two is it's basically a congressional subcommittee report. If you read a legitimate congressional subcommittee report, they'll have 2,000 footnotes if they're doing their job. But that's a team of people just like we had. We want something that's true in 70 years, right? That's the goal of this. Yes, Joe's illegitimate. Yes, Joey's a fraud. But when you write for 70 years down the road, that changes how you display stuff. So here's one of the people, Scott O. The reason why there's a big question mark is he's one of the three people that we couldn't find a photo of. It made us so mad that we tried for years. He's a Korean-born guy who was the first person to introduce Hunter to CEFC. looked for years. Private investigators went outside of his house, couldn't find a picture of him. All we know is his address, and his daughter was in school with one of Hunter's daughters. And he gave $5,000 to Barack Obama and Hillary.
Just a tremendous
amount of work.
You couldn't do it quickly, no.
No.
So let's dive into quick for the access for people, because you know, people, hopefully this is an interesting conversation and people are entertained, but really the goal is for people to do what I said in the very beginning, which is, which, you know, watch a interview with Tucker, read Epic Times, watch some CNBC, you know, take in different pieces of it, and then, you know, rub your temples and you know,
use discernment,
activate the brain, you know, a little bit. And think, you know, for themselves. So this is a resource that should be on the list of resources. Totally. I've not read this. I think you're incredibly smart and driven. And obviously everything about you seems to love this country, and I love this country. And we want information out there. And I kind of feel like if everybody had access to the same information, the country would have a lot more cohesion.
Yeah.
And everybody would sort of be rowing, you know, the same direction, and we could get back to where, you know, I don't know, you take a debate, somebody doesn't want, you know, crime. And they think the best way to get rid of crime is to get rid of all the guns. And I think, well, the best way to get rid of crime, too, if everybody had a gun. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like a different approach, but we can agree our heart is the same. Like, we want less crime. We want less, you know, like you can kind of get back to these kind of like rational conversations. Maybe we approach it a different way. Right now, we're in a place where like, orange man bad and this guy's good. You know,
there's so much misinformation, so much confusion.
Based on, you know, the fact of things aren't available. So you're making this available. I want to talk about how to get it.
Yes.
The easiest way to view it and look at it, especially if somebody's looking at it and they're older and they're like, I don't even know what you mean. How do I have a
viewer? Well, that's the motive for the e-reader.
How does this look?
Mm-hmm. That's the motive for, we're a charity. So that's the reason why we released it for free immediately once we were done in October of 2022. And the past 15 months is me just being on the road talking about it, because we have no marketing. We have no ability other than hitting the pavement to get the word out. So anybody can go to Biden. We bought these $5 domain names that are easy as heck to remember. If you go to BidenReport.com, you will be able to follow along with everything Stacey and David and I have said today, is that we are not guarding this information. Part of our mission was to take the data from the hard drive, the abandoned hard drive, and put it out to the public for posterity in perpetuity. It'll never be taken down.
Decentralize the information.
Where it's, that's what we've done. Mm-hmm. We have put up the email data, but we're the only group. That's the role we fulfilled. There are many people with this device. We put it in a searchable format that anybody with a room temperature IQ can go through and look through. You can go through all the emails in chronological order, and you can download the ones that interest you. I would search your local officials, anybody in state government that's been there for a long time. I mean, 36 years in the U.S. Senate, this guy's met everybody. And very few redeemable interactions. It's mostly how to get contracts, how to rub shoulders. I mean, you have sitting judges on the D.C. Superior Court emailing Hunter to get him to intervene with his dad at the White House to get them a district court job. Mm-hmm. Right in the emails. John Mott. So these are things that are incredible, that show how the sausage is made. Everybody knows that K Street is corrupt in D.C. Mm-hmm. What the laptop provides is a way to look beyond the curtain. It's you can peel the curtain back and see how these interactions are done, and it's disgusting. So
they go to that website and they can they basically make a donation to the 501c3 and it gives them access to the book, the dossier. How does this work?
Even if you don't buy, so there's a purchase button on the dossier, but even if you don't buy one, you can still read it. So you can read the entire report for free online on this e-reader, or you can download the PDF version.
Does not seem like a very good business model. You're not going to get – I don't know if somebody said it once, but it's hard to get rich giving stuff away for free.
Well, I think that –
I don't think that's your motivator.
My point is
you're not trying to
– Yeah, you're not trying to
– We grew so – let's put it this way. We had so low of donations in 2021 because people were – righteously wondering if we could do this, if we could put this out in such a professional manner. And I am proud. We went with a family-run company out of Jacksonville, Florida. The printing quality is nuts. It's silk-covered pages. I'm very proud. It took me months to work with the printers to get a PDF file in the format. So after the report was written, fellow nerds recognized how long this took, and the donations flowed in. Like, it was like four to one. Like, now we're doing fine beyond the lawfare. People are honorable. The country has good people. They yes. recognize that if you're if you write soberly, footnote absolutely every claim you make, and realize that there's nothing out there like this. Nothing has ever been written about an American first family who's active, meaning Joe is there right now. There have been books written like this about presidents who've left the office and who their presidential libraries opened. There's been biographers mm-hmm. who've gotten to look through every single letter that a president's ever written, like the Nixon tapes, right? Mm-hmm. That's a biographer's dream. This has never been done for a sitting president. That's basically our contribution.
That's running
yeah,
for president.
That's running for president. It's never happened before. So that's what people – and we won't get everybody. Not everybody is interested in reading. I get that. But for the people who are, this is a gold mine.
Well, I think even if you know – I got to admit, I have a lot of books. I have probably 4,000 books. Yep. When we did the studio, a lot of them went into storage. There's some books I have just because I feel smarter having them. You know,
I had to get rid of them.
I got some Easton Press books, and yeah. You know, I got a few of these things. But, you know, this is something that probably, if people at least want to have the truth, because we don't know what's even going to happen to our ability to access information
yes.
in the future, mm-hmm. maybe your sites could be shut down.
Yeah, you the American-based sites, that's the what government. They're wanting.
You know, Canada is making some incredible strides to be able to hold people accountable for hate speech on anything said on a social media post infinitely back in time. Jordan Peterson just recently, you know, wrote about this, and Elon Musk was tweeting it out. So
yes.
the Trudeau regime, you know, is taking like, wow. I mean, Kim Jong-un or somebody sees that and they're like, wow, that's pretty aggressive, dude. You know,
I know.
who deems if it's hate speech?
Mm-hmm. I truly Trudeau. Would. This is probably the most unbelievable thing. But I, in my heart of hearts, believe there's a good chance that Fidel Castro is his father. I really do. That's probably my most outlandish belief. You know why? Because it's never been debunked. It does totally fit. His birthday does totally fit. It's like 9 months and 2 weeks. They were down in the Caribbean. The reason why I bring this up is because Trudeau probably makes me mad, even more mad than Joey. He's a tyrant.
Clearly.
And there's nobody that has stopped him. I think that if Joey tried to do that in the United States, there would be an uprising. I think the Canadian people are probably too nice, and they don't have a history. I'm not saying there's no patriots up there. I'm just saying that this is to a point where there has to be a revolt. I'm telling you. And by the way, even liberals like Geraldo Rivera openly admit and brag that he had affairs with Trudeau's mother. Trudeau's mother was a well-known swinger in Canada, and she was about 20 years younger than Trudeau's supposed father, Pierre, also a PM of Canada. So again, there's a great article about this. If you can pull it up, it's like, no, nobody has debunked anything with regard to this scenario, meaning hasn't been proven, hasn't been debunked. Nobody has debunked anything. The articles that they put out that were debunking this clearly omit an entire week in the Caribbean that Trudeau's mother took with Pierre on their quote-unquote honeymoon. They went to the Caribbean and Cuba. That's how you know they're commies. Mm. They went to Cuba on their honeymoon right after Fidel took over. It's like Bernie going to the USSR.
That's the same thing.
Who goes to Moscow for your honeymoon? There for,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
He probably did it in this when it's miserably cold. So they're all communists. Hunter's attorney, Abby Lowell, is a Marxist. I mean, these are Marxist people that we're dealing with. So we don't deal with them on normal terms. I'm not dealing with – when I approach Hunter's attorneys, these aren't well-meaning liberals.
So people probably need access to this book because access may not always be available.
Totally. And we have about 400 copies left. We're probably going to do – we're in talks right now with Gryphon out of Omaha to do a gold-bound hard copy with some updated exhibits. So we've over 13,000 physical copies have been shipped. 13,000. 6 million people have viewed the e-reader. The e-reader has been a total hit.
Okay. Wow. Let's flip this into two other questions. One, if this information could have been available somehow prior to the 2020 election, it seems like it would have played a role.
Yeah.
And it kind of was.
I think it would have played them. Yes.
You know, New York Post, I think this is the longest standing, you know,
yes.
Print.
Alexander Hamilton.
Shut down by all of the levers of power. And then we have intelligence agencies coming out validating, was over 50, saying,
yeah,
hey, that's that. I vouched and wrote a letter. That's complete Russian disinformation. Got all hallmarks of it. We saw the clips there at the end of the,
yes.
the film. So I got two questions. One, what role do you think this played in people, the general public's awareness? You know, it could have swung either way. Would this play a role? number two, yeah, get into this, because they went all in to shut it down. And number two, have any of these people that were in power at the time, that were sitting there trying to do their best with what's right for the people, have they got a copy of this and sent you an apology or, man, I whiffed on this?
No.
You know,
no.
I played a role mm-hmm. in this. I squelched truth. How do I live myself? Is there any of these kind of conversations?
Zero mea culpa so far, because these people don't have the fruits of the Spirit. They don't even, first of all, most of them don't believe in the Holy Spirit. So the idea that they're going to have fruits of the Spirit is a joke to them. You know, the idea of introspection, repentance, those aren't things that these people do. They are all about power. So right and wrong does not matter to them. They don't even believe in those categories, meaning if I woke up tomorrow and decided I'm a fish or a cat, like we were talking about with the mm-hmm. furry litter box earlier, they don't believe that I can stop you from doing that. Sane people realize that that's a joke, and so we'll probably never get apologies. We're really riding only for about 65% of the nation. I'm not a pessimist, but I do believe about 35% of the nation, population-wise, is gone. They are total urban degenerate city dwellers who have no idea about who Thomas Jefferson is and think he's a piece of garbage. Those people cannot be reasoned with. So those people, like Roman times, they're the herd. And 65% of the country, by the way, that 65% is not all conservative, but 65% of the country that is reasonable, that's who we're basically talking to. People who believe that there is truth. If there is no such thing as truth and things don't have essences, there's nothing left. It's just a barren hellscape of different wills to power. So if there's no such thing as truth, this report is chaff. That's why we're blocked. These people think so little of us. Because we believe in absolute truth, that we are literally not worth engaging with. We're scum to them, and everything we put forward does not matter.
You're a mosquito on a camping trip.
Yeah, yeah. So we're not talking to them, and we have no desire to. Because if you don't believe in truth, the human experience is meaningless. It's all how can I manipulate somebody to attain power or prestige or love? Yeah, that's what Hunter is. Hunter is about achieving his pleasures, sexual, financial. Everything is about just chasing after stuff. That's why he has a daughter in Arkansas. That's why he has this entire mess, because he was chasing his passions. You know, even the Greeks, even pagans recognized that was a disastrous way to live. That's how Joey's lived. Pure will to power for the entirety of his adult life. And so the Greeks would look at Joe and say, what an absolutely pitiful failure. Followed his passions, raised degenerate children. Every one of them is degenerate, by the way. All we did was transcribe Ashley's diary. Diary is a little bit weird because it's really a journal. Don't think of this as like a 7-year-old girl's diary about who she has a crush on. Ashley was 37 at the time, and she wrote about all this stuff in a rehab journal. And all we did was transcribe it. And so you would say, well, you know, maybe Hunter's a one-off. Maybe Hunter's just that black sheep who got his brain damaged when he was in the tragic car wreck. No, Joe's other child, Ashley, is a total mess. They're all totally broken. And so then the question becomes, how did they become totally broken? And that's where Joe comes in. Things are so corrupt in the United States right now that Joe actually won Father of the Year in 2016. We put that in our dossier. We put a picture of next to Hunter putting M&Ms on his genitals, and then Joe receiving an award called Father of the Year. And those events were less than 2 years apart. Hunter was 46 at the time. Absolutely hilarious stuff. Whoa. Absolutely hilarious.
I missed that 2016 award. Yeah. It was actually in 2006. I got Father of the Year.
You did get Father of the Year.
I got a trophy. Yeah. It's around here somewhere.
Joey got Irishman of the Year.
I almost want to like not be associated with that term now.
Yeah, 2016, it was Midtown Manhattan Awards Ceremony. We put the URL in our dossier. If he searches just Father of the Year, it'll come up.
I'm not sure I want to see this.
No. It's blurred. But normal people, sane people believe that there is right and wrong, that we're not moral relativists at Marco Polo, right? We believe that we're sinners, that human beings are inclined to sin, that we have to have something outside of ourselves, bend our will towards the good. If normal people see the side-by-side, see the M&Ms, versus see the Father of the Year, they will know this is a joke. So it's not just the figure of speech that the emperor has no clothes. No, we're showing you the emperor's family without clothes. Now, the genitalia is covered. But it's not just the figure of speech anymore. The emperor's family literally has no clothes.
Wow.
And I think, are people just kind of like just humiliated into this process where they just accept this is how it is? You know, Barack Obama, basically for existing, because he hadn't had a chance to do anything, you know, Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think dropped as many bombs on foreign nations as possible.
Civilians.
So there's no real connection between the two. It's just branding and box checking, almost like DEI kind of a thing. Like, hey, we're so happy for this. He doesn't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm. His father was Kenyan, and he became the American president. First of all, Michelle has a little bit of a claim to being called an African-American because some of her family actually did pick cotton in the heat under slavery. Nobody in – by the way, a liberal writer at The Spectator – who is Obama's chief biographer, David Garrow, said this was the book of the year in 2023. A liberal writer. I wrote him a one-page cover letter with a copy of the report to his Pittsburgh home. Never met him from Adam. I said, hey, I just saw you did an interview on C-SPAN. You should take a look at this. Writes back 2 weeks later and then puts in The Spectator that's one of three books of – it was one of three books of the 2023 year. So if we're living in a real regime, this is in the New York Times list. But they'll never touch this because this goes against the princeling. And that's a crime to these people. I mean, Hunter really does in his heart believe that we committed a crime. That's how deluded these people are because he's a prince. 400 years ago in Switzerland, that's a bad example. 400 years ago in France, if you did this, you would be violating the law because he's a princeling. That's how he views himself, that anybody who messes with me, they're committing crimes. That's how deluded these people are. These people aren't well. And that's why we can't bend at all. That's why we can't just settle like Fox News. Fox News just took down the Who is Hunter Biden miniseries because Hunter Biden's attorney wrote them a ridiculous letter. They just took it down from their website. If we did that, man, it's so pathetic. They're the ones with the money and resources, and they're the ones that fold like a cheap tin.
Well, let's talk about something else moving forward then as we wrap up. I've seen you on Steve Bannon. You're talking about the Georgia case, doing everything. It seems to me a little bit, just as an untrained, you know, redneck from Missouri, just kind of like watching the news cycle flow by. It seems like everything coming, every apparatus is trying to take down one person, which if nothing else, if I was like an alien from another planet, I'd come in, I'd be like, wow, why would every single mountain of power be coming after this one person? I'd be like, wow, that's fascinating.
Yes.
What do they have to all equally gain by this being gone? That would be an interesting thing to me. But they also have a little bit of a Elmer Fudd, Wile E. Coyote kind of vibe to them where they continuously are stepping on rakes and getting their nose broke. For whatever reason, if you were to go back in time 3 years, 2 years, 1 year, you'd say, wow, you know, the conversation was, what would be Donald Trump's chance of even – being able to run again, then it's like, well, I think you probably will. Then it's like, you know, you see this. And now, you know, today, the indictments, more popular than ever, he goes to UFC in Manhattan and the place chants USA, USA. He goes to Formula One in Miami and the place, you know, you got Joe Burrow for the Bengals, putting pictures with him. You see this, like, the people, when he goes out to a bodega in New York, it's like the best campaigning strategy ever because he's in court, which makes them look like bullies. On cases that just seem to be drifting away. And then he goes to a bodega in Harlem and they're chanting USA and he's, you know, buying pizza for the fire department. It's like the best campaigning ever because he's on screen constantly doing regular guy stuff in a way that's so in contrast to Joey.
Yes.
You know, he's Patrick Bet-David did a reel the other day and he talked about he was at the UFC and he goes, there was rumor Trump was coming. And then it wasn't until like 10:30 at night that he showed up and the whole thing shut down. Everybody had their phones out. The whole place is lit up, like 15, 20,000 people all filming. He comes in and everybody's, you know, back slapping and wanting a selfie with him. And the whole place is chanting. It's about a 30-minute disruption. And he goes, the fights didn't finish till 2 in the morning. And he goes, I look over and Donald Trump is still on his feet cheering at 2 in the morning after being in court and campaigning. And he goes, I couldn't help but think, I wonder what Joe Biden is doing right now.
He was wiped and put to bed by 8:30.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And had his pudding and he was in bed.
We're in this interesting place. You kind of understand the Georgia stuff. You understand the
we have a lot of different beats, but this is our main one.
We
did the story on the sheriff of Fulton County being in that sex video or the soft porno. Sorry, sheriff of Fulton County that made everybody get a mugshot. He was in a soft porno. This guy's and just Pat Labatt. It's unbelievable the stuff we find. So we use facial recognition a lot. That's probably one of our tools because we ran that on all the pimps and all the hookers. So we got so this tool.
We've never heard these phrases in the show ever quite as much.
Nope.
And you're like the most conservative kind of Boy Scout kind of dude ever.
No
and
Boy Scouts anymore. Did you
see that's true. I heard that just been up. You can't even use that phrase anymore.
Scouting America. That's what it's called. But
I've never had with this. You've now broken the record for how many times people use the word hooker.
We're on the banks, sort of. I stayed in Leavenworth last night. I was on the banks of the Missouri River. What you feel, to use an analogy, because you're apt at that, is you have all these tributaries coming forward in the next 6 months. And it's really exciting because, you know, Hunter's on the ballot. He's going to be going to trial here. We're going to have our audiobook. Everything is leading up to this time in November, and it's a special time to be alive. And, you know, Trump, like I said upstairs, he's a Hegelian world historical figure, meaning he's flawed. He was licentious in his youth, although ironically better behaved in the Oval than Slick Willie. Much better behaved. Mm-hmm. I don't think he was never licentious once in the Oval, and you have Billy Clinton with Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah.
So that's an irony that historians will unpack. But I think that it's all coming to a head now, and it's totally fascinating. Totally fascinating. He loves the dossier, by the way. I handed him a copy in person at Mar-a-Lago, and he loved it. He told me to counter Sue Hunter. That's what he said, because I was telling him about that.
He's a puncher. He's a fighter.
Yeah, yeah. And
he only has one response.
I think if our legal fund – by the way, a pitch for our legal fund – go to fightbiden.org. Can't make it much easier than that. Fightbiden.org. That's our give, send, go. We just started it. And you'll find the docket there, which is good nerds. We just started it. We have another one that's about 115,000 in, but this one is going towards the Hunter one, whereas the other one was for Kevin Morris. But the docket is on the bottom if you go down there, if you click more, and we'll update. We have a hearing on the in person. A board member is going to go on the 16th in Los Angeles. And again, Hunter Biden is claiming this is his data. Hilarious. The lawfare update. I did a huge, it could be for being doxxed among other contrived wrongs. So this is all coming to a head. DJT's four trials. Two lawsuits against us, Peter in prison. It's totally nuts. But my favorite writer called America the grandest carnival on earth. And I think we're getting it. We are getting our money's worth being an American right now. It is a total carnival.
No doubt about it. Yeah. You've been giving out several websites. I just want the Flavor family to know, if you want these websites and you're like, oh, I didn't even get it written down, just text the phone number 40509. Text the word Marco, M-A-R-C-O, to 40509, and you'll get all those websites. So you can find them. Make it very easy for everyone.
Put it in one spot. So
yes.
as we end, you know, what do you see? You said this is a great time. We have all these things contributing. I'll just be real. I don't see those in control that have this grip on things, like just letting it go and saying, dang it, you know, boy, you got us on that one. All right, here, we'll come back in 4 years and we're going to just work harder next time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's going to be, I think, kind of this ugly taking, you know, this back. But I think the American people are more than ever wanting accountability for its leaders. I think Republicans are wanting it from their leaders.
Yeah.
I think we're wanting it from – there seems to be a thing in the earth right now, almost of this exposure of anyone with a leadership platform. I don't care if you're a mega pastor, you're P. Diddy, you're a politician. Like, it's almost like God himself is like revealing people in leadership, and how are you using that platform? Mm-hmm. How are you using your power, your money, your influence, your time, your treasure? How are you using it? Mm-hmm. And for those that are doing it, you know, in a bad way, they're being exposed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you know, it's kind of shaking things up, because there's not like a good team and a bad team. You know, it's not like, well, Republicans are all doing a great job. It's these darn Democrats that are corrupt. It's like, you know.
It's much more nuanced than that.
Mm-hmm. And so I think people are like in a new place in like demanding justice, you know, and wanting truth.
Definitely.
Wanting, you know, a clean slate with this tier of leaders. So as this goes forward, you know, this year, what do you see this looking like?
Well, first of all, I don't think I could have said it better myself in terms of the intro. That was very, Very well said. Sometimes I say people are good diagnosticians. They can diagnose a problem, but sometimes they're, you know, a certain doctor could be a very good diagnostician. He can tell you what's wrong with you maybe better than anybody else. You could see seven specialists and they still don't know, and this one guy gets it within 5 minutes. But that same diagnostician could be a terrible guy with regard to prescribing the medicine to remedy that problem. So I think that right now my prescriptions for it are maybe a little bit too simplistic for some people. I truly think that not voting is sitting on our hands and not appreciating what the founders have given us. So I'm all for voting, but to the degree that you can get your local county to do precinct level counting and hand-marked paper ballots. I think hand-marked paper ballots without precinct level counting is ignoring the bigger issue. Like, I think part of the fraud is the counting process. It's not so much, yes, paper ballots are central and I hate the machines. Totally get it. I get it. But if you don't have precinct level counting and it all goes to one big dump at the State Farm Center in Georgia, to use an example, yes, it gets lost.
Yeah.
Paper ballots or machines are not. So I think you need a twofer. That's how I would respond to another part of the question. Overall, I think that people have to get ready for a figurative mud volleyball game where it will be not clean. I think that I don't know how November is going to do. All I can try to do is clean out the RNC and the people around President Trump that I think are terrible, using our nonprofit opposition research group. And if he gets back in, to make sure that people who are swamp rats, to put it mildly, are gone. We hate swamp rats. The people who vote for Trump hate swamp rats. The people who like the country hate swamp rats. So that's what we need to do, in my opinion. Get rid of the swamp rats and reform the voting. And if we do those things, I think 35 to 45% of the problems will go away on their own. But if you still have the same people, even with DJT back in for a term 47 term, I think his effect is going to be muted, because those same RNC swamp rats are going to have their hands on the levers of power.
We see almost every episode, people are sitting back wanting Donald Trump to do 80 million things to save America. You know, the real answer is 80 million Americans doing one thing each day to save their own country. I don't think anybody can do as much as you've done.
Oh my
Thank
gosh.
You very much.
But I tell you what, if everybody steps up and does a little bit, you know, every piece of merchandise we say, wake up, speak up, show up. I don't know where people are in that spectrum. The first thing is waking up. But if all you do is wake up and you do nothing, then you're just fearful or mad or just flipping tables, or, you know, you walk around mumbling to yourself like Yosemite Sam. Then, you speak up, you have better conversations at the water cooler, the church foyer, wherever you're at. This content, I think, can help people to have another piece of data in their mind, to have better conversations. And then show up, which is exactly, you know, what you're doing. I appreciate you showing up here at the Flyover Studios.
This is
today.
A great studio. I appreciate you both. Love what you're doing. And I love the flyover country. I really do. Most people just say it, but I do.
Well,
and
you've had pizza at Casey's. You're legit.
You're legit.
you're not just some
my brother-in-law still gets like gift cards for there.
Love
for,
it.
For pizza. He's 6'8", so he eats like two of them.
Oh, man.
Well, we have respect for you. Not just some DC fancy pants.
That's right.
Guy.
And Peter's the same
you're one
way.
Of us.
Peter's the same way.
Except for he can do more push-ups than us.
That's true. He looks great. I need to get back in shape. I will after the road show. One last thing. I am going to 35 more states. I'm going to go to all 50 states with the dossier. I'll probably do, you know, a talk in Washington, a talk in Oregon day after day, but I'm going to do all 50 states. Our main site, and you can text the number, but our main site is MarcoPolo501c3.org. That site has URLs to all the others. But
perfect.
That's
so they
one.
Can find out where you're going to be. And
precisely.
Kind of
we have a
where else can people find you? Like Telegram, Truth,
Telegram,
and stuff,
Truth Social, Twitter, Rumble. Everything is at MarcoPolo501c3. If you scroll down just a little bit on the right, you'll see follow us. Everything's right there. Gab, Rumble, Telegram, True Social, Twitter. Our username, we did do an overhaul. We made them all the same. So username is the same on all. MarcoPolo501c3, denoting that we're a nonprofit.
Love it.
I appreciate it. Appreciate you guys. I appreciate doing it in person. I very much prefer that over Zoom. I really do. I love because you get to know people and you feel like you know, I feel like I've known you guys for a while because we believe these certain truths that millions of people, I think DJT probably has 100 million people that like him. 100 million.
Oh, yeah.
I agree.
I know. We just need those extra 30 million to vote. Because some people don't.
Yeah.
Some people don't vote, even though they love the guy. Oh, he's blowing it up. They know the system needs, they know that it needs to be destroyed.
Revamped.
The cartel. It's a cartel. Mm-hmm. This is an exposure to the cartel. I love outing cartels. I think it's fun. We basically, so many people who've been in this laptop have changed emails, deleted social media. If you were proud of how you acted, why would you do that?
Right.
Why would you delete or lock or block people if you were proud of what you contributed? If everything you did with Hunter Biden was above board, why would you scurry like a rat when a light gets shine on it? It's like that video, it's in the middle of Paris at like 3 a.m. and somebody kicks a trash bag and all these rats scurry. That's what the effect of the Biden laptop is. It makes everybody scurry.
Man, again, and we're in an interesting time where, you know, you have the libs TikTok. You got, you know, people out there that are just like, hey, I'm not going to say a bad thing about anybody, but this is what he said. Here's a video of him saying it. And then just, you know.
They know deep down they're degenerate and deviants. I think that's why they hate libs of TikTok. They know they're deviants. This stuff is degenerate. So, you know, that you should be happy that libs of TikTok is promoting your content, right? But no, they hate it because they only want it to be seen by a certain deviant group within their deviancy cabal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Garrett, thank you for coming here. Thank you very much.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Great studio.
And thank you, Flyover family, for joining us tonight.
You know, a lot of what we've talked about today is information that should be readily available, but it's not because of censorship. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we fight. That's why we've kind of made Rumble one of our main platforms. But we upload the Flyover Conservative podcast every day to 60 different platforms. But, you know, Rumble, I'll tell you, even for me, when I go to shows that I follow and like, it's hard to find content. It's like standing next to a river with just constantly flowing by content.
And we put out so much content every week.
And the searchability of it is kind of tricky. So for two reasons, one, to curate content. And then number two, to make things secure in the future, if there ever is a kink in the hose on these other outlets, we have gone through quite a bit of time, effort, and expense to create a site called flyover.live. It's free. There's nothing involved for you to do. Just you can go there and start viewing things immediately. There's a few other content creators like Mel Kay, Clay Clark, Aaron Prager. There's some other content creators.
Man in America,
Seth Hall, some people that we know and trust that have different areas of expertise. So we're posting that content on flyover.live, but it's indexed, kind of looks like a Netflix kind of, you know, rows of content with featured videos at the top. But all the deep dives that we've done in the past with Katie Hopkins and Laura Logan and
Sam Sorbo, Clay Clark. I think we found out we did 13 interviews. Now this is our 14th interview in studio. They've been so much fun.
Joe Allen, he's a regular guest on Steve Bannon talking about AI. So we've done deep dives with all of these people, but they're easy to find and they're curated and listed at flyover.live. And if there's ever, God forbid, an overreach, government invention, some shutdown where you cannot access information through the sites you've historically known and trusted, flyover.live is already prepared as a life raft to be there for free content to get to you, to be able to hear truth uncensored every single day.
That is exactly right. And we covered a lot of websites with Garrett. And if you would like those, you're like, I don't even know where to start. Just text the phone number 40509. Text the word Marco, M-A-R-C-O, to 40509 for all of those website sites that we were talking about on the show today.
We give one last shout out to our sponsors for today's show. Kirk Elliott, Dr. Kirk Elliott is definitely the person that we trust. He's a guy that literally, if I had to turn my finances over and I was gone on a missionary trip for a year or something were to happen to me, I trust him to that level. His integrity is beyond reproach. And in a time like this, it's not just making good decisions. It's making good decisions with people that you trust. It's almost like having a mechanic that you trust. It's like, I'm not sure if I need blinker fluid. You know, it's like, I don't know, this kind of thing. You need somebody that's going to steer things straight and shoot straight with you and that you can trust, especially when it comes to your finances. And we've known him for 25 years and trust him completely.
So go to flyovergold.com or call 720-605 3900. Also, a shout out to heavensharvest.com. When you go there and you use promo code FLYOVER, you get 10% off on very high quality products that, you know, if something does happen, like you said earlier, that you're going to have, you're going to be able to take care of your family and have things to eat.
And there's no reason to pay full price. We use promo code FLYOVER. They give all of our listeners a discount. And again, it's something you can do to be responsible and prepared and take care of the people that you know, love, and care about the most.
That's exactly right.
You gotta eat.
That's right. We bless you. We bless you to realize you were born for such a time as this. Yes. We bless you to realize your future is brighter than your past. And we bless you to wake up, speak up, and show up.
We'll see you again next time, guys. Thank you so much.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Flyover Conservatives podcast with David and Stacey Whited. Please subscribe, hit the notification bell, and leave us a comment below. Lastly, if you enjoyed today's podcast, share with those who came to mind. Be blessed and make it a great day.